Today's devotion is called His Name Will Be Called Wonderful Counselor. Once again, the season of Christmas is upon us. Once again, we have the opportunity to celebrate and reflect on the most wonderful, most extraordinary event in history. A boy is born to a virgin, as the prophet Isaiah prophesied many hundreds of years before, recording Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Then we read in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Among the many things that expectant parents need to do in preparation for their expected new arrival is to choose the name of their child. Mary and Joseph did not need to choose a name. We read in Matthew 1:18-21. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose herself to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Have you noticed how many other names Jesus was given in the Bible, even before he was born? I want to first focus on the two names of Jesus prophesied in Isaiah 9 verse 6. First it says, He will be called Wonderful Counselor. I am reminded of the hymn written by William Fullerton and sung to Londonderry air, which brings out the truth of who Jesus is and what he did while living here on earth. It reads, I cannot tell why he, whom angels worship, should set his love upon the sons of men, or why, as shepherd, he should seek the wanderer to bring them back. They know not how or when, but this I know, that he was born of Mary, where Bethlehem's manger was his home, and that he lived at Nazareth and labored. And so, the Saviour of the world is come. I cannot tell how silently he suffered, as with his peace he graced this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain, 2, 3, and 30 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted, and stays our sin, and calms our lurking fear, and lifts the burden from the heavy laden, for still the Saviour of the world is here. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible tells us why Jesus came to earth. Jesus himself said in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." My thoughts go to another hymn written by R.E. Hudson, where when I realized what it was that God should send his Son to such a sin-torn world. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. Thinking of the wonderful counselor, the first most important quality a counselor needs is to be a good listener. Those words written by Isaiah about Jesus were the result of Isaiah listening to God. Even today, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, continues to be a good listener. We read in Romans 10, verse 13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." No doubt, the moment Jesus was born, Mary listened for that first cry. We can be assured that at any time when we cry out to God, he will hear us. There are many instances in the Bible where God, as a loving Father, shows he is waiting for us to call out to him when we are going through difficult times. We read in Psalm 34, verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." David the psalmist, who often cried out to God, recorded God's promise in Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honour me." Jesus, on a number of occasions, called out to his Father. Just before he was betrayed, Jesus alone in the Garden of Gethsemane cried out in Matthew 26, 39, we read, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." He knew he was about to fulfill another name. He was to be called the Lamb of God, for he was the perfect Lamb to be sacrificed to pay for the sins of the world. He was willing to go through with it. Then on the cross, he again cried out to his Father when he was dying on the cross. We read in Matthew 27, 46, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was the one and only time God forsook his Son. It was done for us, because Jesus needed to experience just for a moment what it was like for mankind to be born as orphans, separated from a righteous, holy God. Just after Jesus' birth, angels came with a glorious message. It is here we need to hear what the angels said in Luke 2, 8-15. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign unto you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favour rests.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Each Christmas, God gives us another chance to remember and hear again the good news the angels proclaimed. Not just to hear the words, not just to understand what the angels were saying, but to realize Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world, and for us to know in our heart the true reality, what the angel meant when they said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." We should be good listeners to hear God's voice. The boy Samuel heard God's voice audibly, but did not recognize it. We need to recognize it. The psalmist David said in Psalm 85, 8 to 13, saying, "I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants." We read he will also be called Prince of Peace in the prophecy in Isaiah 9:6. In a world so corrupt by evil, we see little peace. But we should also ask the question, will we ever see peace on earth? We are reminded of that song which reads, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." When we become a child of God, we will experience the Prince of Peace living within us. By the power of the Holy Spirit having his peace in our hearts, we can begin to make a difference by how we live in this sin-stricken world. Then we can pray as the song says, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." Every Christian is looking with a certain and sure hope that one day peace will reign on the earth. In a day to come, very soon, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years before we live with Jesus for eternity. The words of the prophet Isaiah will certainly come true. It goes on to say in Isaiah 9 verse 7, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on and forever." What a wonderful future awaits God's children, for Jesus as the Prince of Peace will reign forever. There will be no end to his reign, for it will increase and increase. What a wonderful promise we have, and one that will give us peace. It is as Jesus said just before he left the earth in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We already can experience God's peace in measure here on earth while we wait for Jesus' second great appearing. I recall the story in the Old Testament of Hannah, who all her life yearned for a child, who regularly came to the house of the Lord to pray for God to give her a baby. On one occasion she was crying, calling out to God, but Eli the priest misunderstood her, thinking she'd been drinking. We read in 1 Samuel 1:9-11. "Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' God answered her plea. She gave birth to Samuel, and went on to have more children. Hannah kept her promise and gave Samuel back to the Lord. He served with Eli in the house of the Lord. If we make a promise to the Lord, we also need to keep our promises. Jesus came as an innocent, helpless baby. As a man, he suffered a cruel death, led as a lamb to the slaughter to be the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world. That is why he was called the Lamb of God. But one day he will reign as a king and reign on the earth for 1,000 years as the Prince of Peace. Jesus is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We read in Revelations 5:2-5, how in a day to come, Jesus will be seated in heaven as the great judge, when it says, "And I saw a mighty angel proclaim in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven nor on earth under the earth could open the scroll or even look into it. I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the 7 seals. These are seals containing 7 great events to take place at the end of this age." In the run-up to Jesus returning to earth, we read in Revelations 19:11-16, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a royal robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he had this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Before Jesus returns as a king, many traumatic things will have taken place. Jesus will have taken up into heaven the church to celebrate at the great marriage feast, with the joining of Jesus, the bridegroom, to the church, his chosen bride. Meanwhile, on earth, without the church and the Holy Spirit living within them, there will be turmoil. Nations will take their last opportunity to unsuccessfully wipe out the people of Israel. But suddenly, after 5 years of destruction and torture, culminating in the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus will appear with his church, but also with a mighty army of angels who will bring justice and peace back to the earth for 1,000 years, as recorded in Revelation 20. As the final verse of the hymn written by William Fullerton and sung to Londonderry reads, "I cannot tell how all the lands shall worship, when at his bidding every storm is stilled, or who can say how great the jubilation when every heart with love and joy is filled. But this I know, the sky will thrill with rapture, and myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven, and heaven to earth will answer, at last, the Saviour of the world is King." What a wonderful future awaits us as God's children. After 1,000 years is over, the earth will be swept away, and then the souls of all mankind except the church will find themselves standing before God at the great white throne. As it is written in Revelation 21, the books will be opened, and like a reel of videos, the lives of each and every person will be reassessed. There will be those who have lived a righteous life and will be welcomed into God's kingdom. But for the rest, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's in Revelation 1:14-15, which was only created for Satan and his angels. The Prince of Peace is waiting and longing for us to call out to him, to rescue us from what will soon happen. In a world where Satan is seeking to bring confusion, division and destruction, we need to know the Prince of Peace, the wonderful Counselor, guiding our every move and helping us when circumstances get tough. We may need to be tuned into God's voice. We hear God's invitation in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Once we have known God's voice, we can be confident of his guidance. As we read in Isaiah 30:21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." May this Christmas season become something special as you stop to reflect on the new baby Jesus being born into the world some 2,000 years ago. Your encounter with the Prince of Peace will bring you new life and a new start, with the reassurance that you can come to the wonderful Counselor at any time and know he can give you eternal peace that only he can give. In closing, I am reminded of the last verse of the carol, "In the Bleak Midwinter," which says, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what I can, I give him. Give my heart."